The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Thursday, December 6, 2007, and Presidential Release Number 357. This is, unless something changes dramatically, the last of the presidential releases for 2007. We're moving toward the end of the year. We aren't there yet, but we're getting closer. And this is the Christmas season, so it is a great time to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to begin this presidential release with somber news. I know we're expecting some of this. Some of it we weren't. But it makes it no less somber nonetheless. On November 29th, Betsy Zaborowski died after a 9 months fight with cancer. She had been fighting hard, and last summer we hoped she had licked the whole thing. She had some more of the work to do to try to beat the cancer, but as the fall developed, especially in October and clearly in November, it was evident that Betsy Zaborowski was dying of the cancer that she had, and that came to a close on the 29th of November. She found her way back to Colorado. Jim Gashel arranged for her to fly out there 2 days before she died in an air ambulance. She was in her beloved Colorado, where she had spent much of her educational years and some of her professional work years. She was glad to be there in the house that she and Jim had found in October. So I am so sorry to have to tell you of her death. We are planning a memorial service for her, which will take place on the Sunday before the Washington seminar. This will be on that particular Sunday, I believe, is the 28th of January. It'll be here at the National Center for the Blind. It will begin at 3:30 in the afternoon. Those who wish to participate should plan to come. We'll have it in the members' hall. Betsy and Jim have helped to build the members' hall and have helped to give it the kind of spirit that we want in the Federation, so you should plan to come to that memorial service. I am sorry also to have to tell you that on the same day that Betsy Zaborowski died, Rosemary Lerdahl died of a heart attack. We did not know that she was sick. In fact, she had been participating in Federation activities. She'd been at our convention here in Maryland. She was planning for events that would take place next summer. And so her death was very sudden. I'm sorry to have to tell you of her death. I do not know what kinds of memorial services are being planned for her. I gather that her daughter Angela is dealing with those, and if I get more information about it, I'll be glad to let you know. You might keep Betsy and Jim in your prayers, and you might keep Rosemary Lerdahl and her daughter in your prayers. I'm sorry to have to give you this sad news. I do have other news. Steve Shelton, who served for many years as president of the National Federation of the Blind of Oklahoma, says that on November 3, 2007, Sophia Armonet Shelton was born weighing 7 pounds and 14 ounces. Now, don't get excited. This is not Steve Shelton's daughter, but his granddaughter. She measured 20 and a half inches long, and you might keep all the Sheltons and especially Sophia in your thoughts and your prayers. Now, since our last gathering on this presidential release, we have had a digital rights management summit here at the National Center for the Blind. We brought together a great many people to talk about digital books and how blind people should have the right to get at the content of these books. We had people from Google and from the Association of American Publishers and from a number of universities, including Stanford and the American University, and we had some lawyers and we had some book publishers there, and we talked for a full day about the method of getting at digital content of books that may be distributed over the internet or may be distributed in digital form in other ways. It is important for blind people to have equal access to information, and we told the publishers and also the digital rights management creators who want to find ways of protecting the copyright of books that we would like to have access to them. It isn't that we want to take information that other people are selling for nothing, although, of course, we do want to be able to use libraries for the blind, but we also want to be able to get at information. A lot of times we have to buy content. That is, we have to pay for access to the digital content of information. Especially university students have to do this. And then after we've paid for the books, we can't use them in the way that other people do simply and easily, and we want to be able to do that. We're working with others to find mechanisms to get at the digital rights management content, that is, the content that is being protected by digital rights management systems. We also had our board meeting. This was last weekend. It was a very good meeting. It was a very spirited meeting. We talked about all the things we're doing in the Federation, and we talked about a number of plans that are coming up. And among them, we talked about our national convention. I'll be getting back to that in a minute. This weekend, here at the National Center for the Blind, we will be having a seminar for state presidents and treasurers. Almost all of the state presidents and almost all of the treasurers from each of the states are coming. We'll be talking about methods of conducting business in our state affiliates and how we're going to deal with financial matters in affiliates so that we can increase the work and the size of our affiliates in ways that we've talked about in the past but have only dreamed about. At the moment, we're having a seminar here for people who conduct programs in residential rehabilitation centers. This is a seminar entitled Dare to be Remarkable, and it is a national rehabilitation conference for residential rehabilitation centers. We have, I guess, about 150 people here from 32 different states, and it is a delightful thing to be able to invite all of these people to come. Of course, the teaching is being done by some of our longtime leaders in the National Federation of the Blind. I've done some to try to give direction to this seminar, but the faculty members from the centers that we run in Minnesota and Colorado and Louisiana are providing some of the stimulating conversation that is occurring here that will challenge people to increase the effectiveness of the work that is being done in rehabilitation programs around the nation. I have an announcement here which comes to me from our Richmond chapter of the National Federation of the Blind, and it says that Virginia is a state with a lot of exciting activities in the Federation and in the field of rehabilitation for the blind. At our fall convention, we registered 241 participants from the age of 13 months to the age of 86 years. The enthusiasm and energy of the crowd were contagious. We have a junior chapter of the NFB at our State School for the Blind, and many parents and educators are joining our ranks. With the backdrop of such a strong and vibrant affiliate, we also have some very exciting opportunities at the Virginia Rehabilitation Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired, where Maurice Paré was first employed as the National Orientation and Mobility Certified Travel Instructor under the capable and passionate leadership of Melody Lindsay. Our center has job openings that need to be filled by energetic and creative individuals who will challenge our students to become independent and to learn to be contributing members of our communities. Those opportunities include cane travel instructor positions. Each of them will have a $10,000 sign-on bonus, a rehabilitation counselor position, and an assistant director position. If you have high expectations for blind students, positive attitudes about blindness, and the creativity to implement programs that challenge students to reach their fullest potential, you may call Maurice Paré at 804-371-3093, or you can email him at Maurice, M-A-U-R-I-C-E dot P-E-R-E-T, that's Paré, at D-B-V-I dot Virginia, all spelled out, V-I-R-G-I-N-I-A dot G-O-V, and then you can get more information about the positions available in Virginia. I have an announcement here which comes from the North Pole. It says, once again, Santa Claus has enlisted the help of the National Federation of the Blind to respond to letters from young Braille readers. Blind children who wish to send Braille letters to Santa can submit their letters to the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute, which will then Braille Santa's responses. This exciting and fun program is designed to promote Braille literacy, which is a key to success and a method for creating opportunity for blind children and adults. You can send letters to Santa in Braille or print. Santa's reply will be in Braille and in print. The Brailled reply will be in contracted Braille unless you specifically request uncontracted Braille. You can send your letters to this address. Santa Claus, care of National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. Letters from Santa may also be requested at www.nfb.org. Requests must include the child's name, birthday, and gender, the writer's name and mailing address, and a telephone number in case Santa's helpers at the National Federation of the Blind have questions. Letters to Santa must be received by December 18 in order to ensure that Santa's reply is received before Christmas. Merry Christmas from Santa's helpers at the National Federation of the Blind. Here is an announcement from our Department of Governmental Affairs. I want to make you aware of Quiet Cars model legislation that we have recently drafted. It will be posted to our website at the Governmental Affairs portion of the site where other model bills are posted. We will be providing it to our legislative list very shortly. The model legislation is an important step so that blind pedestrians receive enough information for continued safe travel. The model legislation does all of the following things: offers findings to support the need for state action to address the challenges posed by quiet cars to blind pedestrians, establishes a minimum sound level standard that all new cars sold must meet by a specified date, establishes a regulatory process for developing that standard, assures that any state safety inspections of vehicles will include the sound-making components to assure that cars are meeting the minimum sound standard. It is critical that several states enact this model legislation as soon as possible. This is a key part of our strategy to make government and industry aware of the danger quiet vehicles are likely to cause blind pedestrians and to advocate for positive solutions that will not jeopardize our hard-won independence. Therefore, let us act swiftly to pass the Model Quiet Cars Bill in every state. Jim McCarthy, who is managing this particular piece of our legislation, is available to answer any questions you have regarding strategies for passing this model bill. He can be reached by telephone at 410-659-9314, extension 2240, or by email at jmccarthy@nfb.org. State activity on this legislation will receive attention from the media, offering a great opportunity to share how it is that blind folks travel independently in the world and why we fear quiet cars unless they emit a modest amount of sound. Now is the time to begin the hard work that is necessary to pass this model bill. For a number of months, the National Federation of the Blind has made available MP3 files of Braille Monitor articles at www.nfb.org. With the December 2007 online version of the monitor, we are now bundling the MP3 files for each issue, so those who wish to download the entire issue of the monitor in MP3 can do so. These files will be available in one zip file and will be located at the bottom of the page with the link for the complete text file. Here is another announcement from the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute. Groundbreaking program for elementary students from NFB Jernigan Institute. The Jernigan Institute is pleased to announce the latest breaking addition to its Science Academy, the 2008 NFB Junior Science Academy. This program is the first NFB Science Academy for elementary students and their parents. It will be held July 23 through 27, 2008, in Baltimore, Maryland, at the National Center for the Blind. The program will accept 30 students in grades 3rd through 6th, or ages 8 to 12, and one parent or guardian to participant. Modeled after the NFB's previous successful science academies for teens, this 4-day session will expose blind and low-vision children to the excitement of science in real-life applications. The students will learn that science can be fun through hands-on instruction, field trips, and informative activities as they learn about how different aspects of the environment work together to create the world around us. In addition to sparking their interest in science, technology, engineering, and math, that's STEM subjects, the program aims to teach students how alternative techniques can help make STEM subjects accessible and more engaging. Workshops for parents of blind children will take place in conjunction with the children's activities for those individuals accompanying their children. The Education Department is also looking for individuals over 18 years of age who are interested in serving as mentors to help facilitate the children's activities. Interested families or individuals who would like to serve as mentors can learn more about the program and submit applications online at www.blindscience.org. Applications are due by March 31, 2008, For more information, please contact Mary Jo Thorpe, Education Programs Specialist at the Jernigan Institute at 410-659-9314, extension 2407, or you can send email to mthorpe, that's M-T-H-O-R-P-E, at nfb.org. This last summer at our national convention, we had a number of exciting activities. We are coming into the convention season after we get finished with the Christmas season. And the convention season will mean that we will be headed for the next national convention. This one will be in Dallas, Texas at the Anatole Hilton Hotel. And in Dallas, Texas, you should get your reservations in so that you can be a part of the 2008 convention. The convention runs from Sunday, June 29th, through Saturday, July 5th, which is one day off the customary schedule. It means that the banquet will take place on Friday. This is the 4th of July. So make your reservations right away and plan to be with us at the Anatole Hilton Hotel in Dallas, Texas. This last summer at our national convention, we had our first Independence March. And we will be having another Independence March, and that will take place at our national convention in Dallas. We have begun making plans for the Independence March, and it will be an exciting time. This is part of the Imagination Fund. It means that we raise money to put effort into our national treasury so that we can build both at our affiliate level. We use some of the Imagination Fund money for affiliate projects, and at our national level to support the work of our Jernigan Institute and of the Federation as a whole. So start finding ways to be part of the Imagination Fund, and that means you've got to plan to raise enough money to be in this Independence March. I want everybody to raise $250. I realize that this is a demanding effort, but on the other hand, we in the National Federation of the Blind have always found a way to respond to demanding things so that we could build something new, something that has never happened before. I should say that we have an announcement that will be on this presidential release from a helper who will be helping us next summer at the Independence March. We have been helping him to get letters out in Braille to blind students or children who need to communicate with him, but now he's talking to us about how he wants to help us next summer. So here is the message from the North Pole.
Ho, 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 ho! Coming to you live over Dr. Maurer's presidential release, this is old Santa Claus. Oh, you know, the Christmas season's the giving season. It's the good time to register now for participation in the upcoming March for Independence by supporting the Imagination Fund. The giving season is the right time to ask family, friends, and co-workers at all those holiday parties coming up to support your participation. You know, old Santa Claus raised $250 last year. Oh, I couldn't be with you there in Hotlanta. Old Santa was one of those virtual marchers, you know? That's a newfangled way you can participate when you raise your money without actually being in the march. Ho, ho, ho! Why don't you call me at the North Pole at 866-543-6808 to find out more? Ho, ho, ho! If you raise $250 or more, you can get a jumbo t-shirt like old Santa Claus did, or you can get a small or a medium or a large. If you raise $500, you get a nice commemorative hat. Oh, I like to wear my hat around the old North Pole here. It's a nice looking hat. You know, if you raise $1,000 or more for your participation in the Imagination Fund and to join us at the march in Dallas in July, you'll get a gold march medallion. Collect them year after year. You know, everybody that registers at marchforindependence.org and gets at least one contribution under their name, under their registration, by January 4th, 2008, will be eligible to be entered in our drawing. On January 28th, we're going to draw for Victor Streams and wonderful dinners for two at nice restaurants. Ho, ho, ho! And don't forget the mini march cards, the shelves have been quite busy, and with some help from our friends at American Printing House for the Blind, Santa's going to be very good to those folks this year. We've got those mini March cards, you know, the little fold and a half, kind of like the size of a business card, got a little braille and details about the National Federation of the Blind. It directs people to the website at marchforindependence.org and shows them how they can be investors in the movement. So get them now by calling Christy Bowman at 410-659-9314, extension 2406. Santa does. Now's the holiday season, the giving season. Oh, it's the time to urge all of your teammates forward. Have you put together your team yet? You ought to put together a team and encourage one another. Join us in Dallas 2008 for the March for Independence, a walk for opportunities. Happy Christmas, happy holidays to one and all, even Scott LaVar.
As I mentioned on this presidential release, we will be having a Washington seminar coming up at the end of January. The Great Gathering In meeting is the last Monday of January. This is the 29th of January, if memory serves. And you got to get your reservations in for it with Diane McGeorge right away. We need reservations to be in Diane McGeorge's hands by the 27th of December. And her telephone number is 303-778-1130, extension 219. So please get your reservations in, and we need representation from every single state in the nation. When we go to Washington, we talk about the policies established by the government of the United States and how those policies will affect the lives and the futures of blind people. We need to make a difference in Washington, D.C., so please plan to be there. Now, we're coming to the end of this presidential release, and I want to tell you that this has been a good year for the Federation. We've had problems, as we always do. And we've had some severe sadness. I mentioned some of it on this release. And yet, this has been a good year for us. I know I've said this before, but if you look at the record of change that we have been able to make this year, dealing with blindness in many, many respects, it has been enormous. And I think it means that we're building for even more success next year. This is by way of saying, we build with each other. We make our organization what we want it to be. We support each other. We care for each other. When the hard times come, we help each other. When the joyous times come, we celebrate with one another. We, in other words, make the future for ourselves, which is, in one sense, the meaning of the National Federation of the Blind. So as we come to the Christmas time, then I wish all of you a very Merry Christmas. And I wish those of you who don't celebrate the Christmas time a very merry holiday season. It is a delightful thing to be a part of this Federation and to know that there is hope and that there are small miracles and sometimes big miracles that come to be a part of our lives because we believe enough to help them come into being. Sometimes we help other people have a miracle that they didn't expect. And sometimes we get them ourselves. And I, for one, am delighted with that, and I want to wish you a great season and a good new year to come. One of the best. This, of course, brings me to the end of the presidential release. Now, what do you get when you cross an apple with a Christmas tree? A pineapple. Or how many presents can Santa fit into an empty sack? Only one. After that, it's no longer empty. What is the difference between the Christmas alphabet and the usual one? Well, in the Christmas alphabet, there's no L. It's shorter. Why are Santa's elves all so good at grammar? Because they're all subordinate clauses.
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.